Wonderful to be warm in the college. Wonderful. Ian said he was going to ask him to turn the heating down. I said, not on your life. Wonderful. It's great to be here. It's great to be warm and it's great to see you. If you're here for the first time in New Life, we give you a very, very warm welcome. Amen. Pray that God will bless you as you're amongst us. Tonight we are meeting in Redcar and Stockton at 6:30. Do support the gatherings there in Redcar and Stockton. We're not there to support, really. We can't support something that belongs to us. We are there to put input in and see what God is going to do. So do get along if you possibly can. On Monday evening, musicians and singers, there's a practice for you at 7 o'clock. The life groups are meeting this week. And if you have sponsored Sean for his sleepover, make sure that you give him the money today because he's sleeping out on the streets and this will be the last opportunity you have to sponsor him or to hand your money in. Kevin and Hazel assure me that they haven't kicked him out. This is something that he's doing for charity, sleeping out rough on the streets. Do support him in what he's doing. We will be adding to our existing ministries, new rotas, and adding new people. And there are also some new ministries coming on stream that we'd like you to get involved in. It's a great opportunity for you to serve the Lord. And it's a practical expression of your love for Jesus and your love for the church and for the people of God as we give ourselves to serve. So I know that in the life groups that has been publicized and help has been sought. And if you're able to serve in any way, please do have a word with us. The leadership team are meeting on Friday and Saturday this week. Please pray for us. We're spending 2 days together as we're looking to the Lord for the future and looking for the vision that God has for us to see the kingdom of God growing. Steve prayed right at the start this morning, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we're seeking God for on Friday and Saturday, that God will show us his purposes for us as a fellowship. I believe the ladies have an announcement about a trip that's going to London. And is Janet here this morning?
Hi, everybody. Well, women, it's that time of year again, and we're underway now of the London trip. Now, for those that went to London last year, we had a fantastic time. We went and seen a show, we went for meals, and everybody done their own thing as well. Some went shopping, some went sightseeing, you know, and we just had a really great time together. It was fantastic. So I can encourage you all, women, you know, get yourselves together and think about this. So the dates that we've set is Friday, the 6th of May, to Sunday the 8th of May, and we haven't got a price yet because there's things going on with trains and things, so the approximate price will be about £130, and we need names by the, 2 weeks' time. It's the 6th of February, so if you could please get your names in as soon as possible because Hazel will need numbers to put in when she does actually book it. And also a £30 deposit for the people that want to go as soon as possible, please. And if you could give your names to Hazel and any money, if you could give it to Liz, please. Okay, thank you.
Let's pray. Father, we pray this morning that you will speak to us again through your word. We thank you that we open our hearts to receive this engrafted living word of God. We pray this morning, Lord, that your word will be a light to our path and a guide to us. Lord, we pray, Spirit of God, that you'll illuminate our hearts and spirits this morning in Jesus' name. Let your word be quickened in this house, we pray. We pray for Adrian and Lisa as they're ministering over in South Bank this morning. We pray you'll anoint them, Lord, and bless their ministry. Cause the people in South Bank to hear from God this morning. And Lord, we will give you all the prayers. And we will give you all the glory. Amen. In the name of the Lord. Last Sunday, Steve brought to us what was our final message in the book of Joshua. We've entitled the series that we've been going through for several months, Going On in God. Moving forward, going on, making progress in God. I trust you've been challenged by the ministry. I trust you've been encouraged by it, envisioned by it, enlightened by it, and more so, the ministry has done just that for you, that it has helped you to go on in God. God wants us to go on. My remit this morning is to recap on what God has been saying to us over these 12 sessions that we've had in the book of Joshua that has lasted for several months now. And we're going to give ample opportunity at the end of the ministry for us just to spend some time waiting upon God, receiving from God, and we will be breaking bread as well at the end of the time of the service today. Last week, Steve spoke to us from Joshua chapter 10 and concluded really the messages that we are bringing to in this series. If we were to go on from chapter 10, you know it's not the end of the book. There are 24 chapters in the book of Joshua. But from chapter 11 to chapter 24, they are mainly dealing with further conquest and the possession and the division of the land of Canaan that became to Israel an inheritance. Had I been continuing in chapter 11 and beyond, I think a good title would have been, There's Plenty for All. There's plenty for all. Friends, can I say this morning, no one in Israel was impoverished by going into the land of Canaan. There was more than enough for every one of them. In the wilderness, they just had enough. But in the land of Canaan, where they had gone, they had more than enough. God was their provision and their provider. And I want to say to every one of us this morning, the God that we serve has more than enough for every one of us. Can you say amen to that? More than enough for every one of us. Friends, I want to say unreservedly, we can all have more in God than we possess at this present moment in time. There is much more that God wants to give to us. He wants us to live in this wonderful inheritance that he has for us. But in order for us to inherit, as the children of Israel did, all that God had for them and his promises, they had to move forward. They had to move in. And friends, for us to inherit what God has for us, because he has got more ahead of us, we've got to keep going. We've got to keep moving forward. We've got to keep pressing in. That's what the title of this series indicates, Going On in God. Friends, we're not going to receive what God's got for us if we're standing still. When you stand still, that denotes that there's no motivation. You're standing still. Whereas the Word of God talks about a walk, it talks about a race. It talks about progress. Neither can we possess all that God has for us if we are not just standing still, but if we are moving backwards, if we are withdrawing, drawing back. The Word of God says in Hebrews that God has got no pleasure in those who draw back. God wants us to go on. That word drawing back is where we get the word backsliding. We are not making progress. Instead of moving on, we're drawing back. Last week, I was greatly encouraged. Because part of our inheritance as children of God is to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says it is the foretaste or the down payment of our inheritance in God. It's a foretaste of what God has for us. It's only a little sample of all that God has for us. The baptism in the Holy Spirit, friends, is not the end. It is the gateway into all that God has for us. And I was greatly encouraged last week as several of our folks came forward to receive part of their inheritance. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And so we begin just to look over this wonderful book of Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, you and all this people, cross over the Jordan to the land that I have given you. Every place the soles of your feet tread upon, that have I given to you. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Be strong and of a good courage, for you will possess the land. Hallelujah. Moses, my servant, is dead. Friends, there are some things in our lives that have got to die before we can move on. There are some things that have got, before Israel could get into the land, Moses had to die. God had already told him that he would see the land, but he wouldn't enter into it. He would see it with his eyes, but he would never get into it. And some things have got to die before we can make progress in God. I wonder this morning, is there anything in your life that God has been speaking to you about that has got to die? Some sin that still holds you like a vice. Some habit that you can't break. Some relationship that's not doing you any good in God. Things that would have really got to die if we are to make progress. And you know they've got to die. And I know there are some things in my life that have got to die for me to make progress in God. It was in the year that King Uzziah died that we read in the book of Isaiah that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. In order for Isaiah to see the Lord, Uzziah had to die. Because maybe Isaiah had his eyes on the king and not on the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. Every day I die. What was he meaning, friends? God's word encourages us to live unto God and not unto sin. Be alive to God and dead to sin. Paul said, every day I live, I am dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. Paul spoke about the discipline he gave to his own body. How after preaching to others, if he didn't discipline his own life, he would be disqualified from the race. That's why he encourages us in the book of Hebrews to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with patience. That's that running again, that motivation, that progress of going forward, the race that is set before us. Jesus said, unless a corn of wheat dies, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it will bring forth much fruit. You see, friends, some things have got to die to live. We've got to die in order to live. Die to the flesh. Friends, this old man of ours, how many of you know you've got an old man? It's not him you live with, the old man. Every one of us have got an old man. It's called the flesh life. And friends, it needs to be put to death, because if we don't put it to death, let me tell you what the flesh life will do. It will dictate our lives. The flesh has got to die. Jesus, the word of God says, in the flesh, in me, if we walk in the flesh, we cannot walk in the spirit. We've got a choice to make where we're going to walk in our daily life. Paul said, in me, that is in my flesh, there's nothing good that's there. Nothing good. They that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. The flesh doesn't profit anything. Nothing whatsoever. And so, friends, we are encouraged, do not walk in the flesh. Do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. You see, there are some things that have got to die for us to make progress in God. Moses, my servant, is dead. Second thing I want to say, our success and our future success in God hinges upon one thing and one thing alone. Not how good we sing the songs. Not how well we dressed. Not how much money we've got in the bank. Our success in God depends upon this one thing and one thing alone. Our obedience to the Word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. That you might observe to do all that is written in this book. Then success comes. Then. James, in his letter, writes these words, it's not the man who reads it that will be blessed, but the man who does what he reads about. That man will be blessed in what he does. Jesus told the parable of the two men, the man who built his house upon the rock and one who built his house upon the sand, and the storm came. And Jesus likened the man's house that was built upon the sand, and it fell and collapsed, and great was the fall of it. Jesus likened it to the man who heard the word of God, but he didn't do it. Whereas the man who built his house upon the sand, the rock, is like a man who hears the word of God and does it. How important is this book, friends, to us in our daily lives, in our daily walk with God? Do we still live by bread alone? Or do we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God? Chapter 2, I think Alan spoke to us about how God used a woman called Rahab to hide the spies that had been sent out by Joshua. She hid them upon the top of a house, covered them by flax. And the message, I think, was very plain that God wants to use every one of us. God used a prostitute. God used a harlot. The most unlikely candidate, God used her. And I want to tell you, friends, the most unlikely candidate amongst us this morning, God can use. God can take the things that are weak and make them into something mighty. God can take the least instrument and play some beautiful tunes upon it. Rahab the prostitute. That's what the Bible calls her. The harlot. God used her. Isn't it amazing that she was in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? I was reading this morning about the genealogies of Jesus in Matthew. And how Rahab was there. 14 generations in. There is Rahab. I think there was a son, his son, and his son, and then David was born. David was an ancestor of Rahab. She was his great, great, great grandmother. And we know that from the loins of David, from the seed of Judah, from the tribe of Judah, he was born. The King, our Lord Jesus Christ. God took this woman up and he used her. Now I want to say this morning, friends, ask yourself the question, am I being used of God? Am I using my talents to serve the King? Giving my abilities to serve the Lord? In these next few weeks and months, we'll be lifting up the whole profile of servanthood. And even as we are beginning to form new teams and tasks in the fellowship, I wonder, is there something in your heart this morning to say, that rises up and say, here I am. Whatever I can do, I'm going to do it for the King and be privileged in doing it. In chapter 3, we read that they were going to cross the Jordan. And the Jordan was a real problem to Israel. They'd never been this way before, and the Jordan was in flood, and it said one thing to the whole armies of Israel: impossible. There is no way you're going to get across. And I want to say this morning, friends, whenever we want to move forward in God, there will always be some obstacles in the way. Some things that will prevent us going on. For Israel, it was the Jordan. I thank God this morning that the God we serve is a God of the miraculous. Amen? There is no problem too big that God can't intervene in it. No impossibilities where God is concerned. With God, how many things are possible? How many's all? What does all mean? It means everything. All things are possible to those who believe. The Bible says He is able to make a way where there doesn't seem to be any way. As they looked at that river in flood, there didn't seem anywhere, but thank God He made a way. When they stood at the Red Sea and didn't see anywhere that they could get across that mighty river, that mighty sea, God made a way where there didn't seem to be anywhere. Friends, this morning, what stands in your way? What is it that's preventing you from moving forward, moving on in God and into all that He has for you? You might need a miracle this morning. Well, I thank God He's a God of miracles. See, if the wine hadn't run out at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, there would have been no miracle of Him turning the water into wine. And if Jericho hadn't been so big and impregnable and impossible to take, there would have been no miracle of the walls coming down. I thank God this morning, friends, that your impossibility is a miracle waiting to happen. Hallelujah. All things are possible to those who believe. Years ago we used to sing a song, "Expect a miracle when you pray." Expect a miracle every day. If you expect it, God will find a way to perform a miracle for you each day. And as you sit here this morning, you might be in need of a miracle. You might be sick in your body. You might need divine healing. Well, He is Jehovah Rapha. He is the Lord who heals us. Amen? This morning, you might need some financial miracle. The pennies are not coming together. There's a lack of finance. Well, can I say, keep giving to God through it. Keep putting God first in doing what God wants you to do. And I want to tell you, it will open the doors for a financial breakthrough in your existence and in your life. Hallelujah. The miracle will happen. Maybe you're unemployed. You need a job. Well, friends, God knows where the jobs are, and He will make a way where economically it doesn't seem that there is anywhere God can provide you with employment. Amen. Relationships need perhaps to be restored. Broken relationships. And you say that they're never going to mend. Let me tell you, God can heal the brokenhearted and He can mend relationships. The miracle, in fact, friends, there might be a 100-odd miracles amongst us because as our faces differ, our needs differ. But whatever we stand in need of this morning, our God is able. Amen? He's able to provide a miracle for us. In chapter 4, I think Kevin spoke to us about remembering the goodness of God, about those stones that came up out of the water, that were for Israel memorial stones. The Bible says we are to not forget all of His benefits. And friends, I think it's good for us to look back and to remember all that the Lord has done for us. Hasn't the Lord been kind to us? Hasn't the Lord been good? Hasn't the Lord bestowed his favor upon us much more than he ever should? David said, goodness and mercy has followed me all the days of my life. He said, I'm an old man now, but I've been a young man. And he said, in all my years, I've never ever seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Hallelujah. God's wonderful goodness and provision for our lives. It's good to remember. And those stones that came up out of the Jordan were taken and placed in Gilgal for a memorial to the children of Israel. When your children ask you, Joshua said, what do these stones mean? Then you will say to them how the Lord led you through the dried up riverbed and how God had provided and God had been good to you. They will become for you stones of remembrance. And friends, that was one thing God said to them. When you get into the land, when you get settled, when you live in houses you've never built, when you sit under vines that you've never planted, don't forget what God's done. Don't forget the goodness of God. And every one of us, friends, need reminding time and time again of what the Lord has done. Because we are people who are prone to forget. Remember the chief butler and the chief baker who had dreams? God said, through Joseph, one of you will be restored and one of you will be hanged. It happened just as Joseph said. And just as the chief butler was going out of the prison, Joseph said, when you get out of here, don't forget me. And the next verse says, but he forgot him. We are prone to forget. It took him 2 years later, and it was only after Pharaoh had a dream that the butler remembered what had happened in prison. Friends, Jesus knows what we like in our remembrance. That's why he's placed this table before us. This is a memorial this morning. We do this in remembrance of him. This do, Jesus said. And every time we take the bread and the wine, we remember his death. We remember his resurrection. And we remember his promise that one day is coming again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lest we forget, we remember the goodness of God. And Kevin spoke to us and encouraged us about certain things that we ought to bring to our memories and our minds. In chapter 5, we read about the circumcising of all the males in Israel that had come into the land of promise, and how God met with Joshua at Jericho. The Bible tells us that our circumcision is now no longer of the flesh. Theirs was of the flesh. Ours is of the heart. Friends, we are, the circumcision was not the covenant, but it was a sign of the covenant that they were God's people. And I want to tell you this morning, we are God's people. He has come into covenant relationship with us. And our circumcision is of our hearts this morning. He is not ashamed, the Bible says, to call us brethren. We are his people, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He is our God, and we will praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, hasn't he? He said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. And what has our king said to us? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. That's his covenant relationship with his friends. He's with us always. Always. We are in covenant relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And a covenant people sanctify themselves. Sanctify yourselves was the word that went out through the tribes and the hosts of Israel. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders amongst you. Our sanctification today will determine what God's going to do tomorrow. God wants a people who are set apart and ready for the Master's use. People who God can take hold of and use. Let me tell you, friends, God will use a sanctified people. Before these people could be used, they had to be sanctified. And God wants us to be set apart and ready for the Master's use. He wants us to get to know Him more. And when Joshua stood by Jericho and he looked at those massive walls, suddenly he realized he wasn't alone. For there stood one who had his sword drawn. And Joshua said to him, "Who are you? Are you on our side or the enemy's side?" He said, "Neither. I come here as the commander of the armies of the Lord God Almighty. Take your shoes off. The place where you stand is holy ground." And I just read this morning, it quickened to me, Joshua did so. He did so. Hallelujah. And friends, there by Jericho, Joshua met him afresh. He'd already met him as a young man as he'd been in the tabernacle with Moses. And he'd already seen the goodness of God. But by Jericho, he had a fresh revelation of who he was. And I want to tell you, friends, for every one of us, we need a fresh encounter with Him. A fresh revelation. Let's not live on something that's stale, but let's all have a fresh encounter with the living God. Let Paul's cry become our cry, that I might know Him. That I might know Him. Friends, God desires that we might know Him. He said, "If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you." Church, it's time to seek the Lord. It's time to draw nigh unto God. If we would meet with God afresh, if every one of us were to have a fresh encounter like Joshua had, it would radically change our lives. In chapter 6, we saw the fruits of obedience as the walls of that mighty city came down according to the word of God. And a great victory was wrought by the people of Israel. Friends, when we are obedient to the word of God, it will always produce the same results. This book of the law shall not depart from you. You'll meditate in it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. And Jericho came down, not because they shouted loud. It came down because they were obedient in doing what God wanted them to do. And friends, our Jerichos will move and come down, and our success will be absolutely guaranteed if we will do what God wants us to do. In chapter 7, unfortunately, it was the fly in the ointment, wasn't it? No longer victorious, a people in disarray, a people in defeat. Achan, the son of Carmi, had taken the accursed thing. God said that he hadn't to touch it. He'd gone into a tent when the slain were all over in Jericho. He'd taken a garment. He'd taken a wedge of gold, silver, and he'd buried it in his tent. God said that they hadn't to touch things like that because they were accursed. Friends, the striking lesson from this is this. One man's sin, one man's disobedience can cause a whole nation to be stopped. One man's disobedience brought a curse on the entire nation. I think the lesson is very simple. We owe it to God, we owe it to one another to live right. Jesus said, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself." It's not just for me, it's for their sakes. It's for my brothers and sisters in Christ. A little leaven, a little yeast, it spreads. We owe it to God and each other to live right. We're not called to judge one another. The Bible says if we judge one another, we ourselves will be judged by the measure of judgment we give out. The Bible does say we are to judge ourselves. In fact, that was the instruction Paul gave, wasn't it? For if we would judge ourselves, when we take this, we will not be judged by the world. That's why the time of communion is a wonderful time of self-searching. It's a time of self-judgment, where we're not looking at this one or that one, we're looking into our own hearts. And asking God, is there any wicked way in me? Cleanse me from my sin, from anything that is a fly in the ointment. Achan received God's judgment because he was disobedient. And he wasn't willing to confess and forsake his sin. Striking, isn't it? Ai was a small city. Wasn't like Jericho, it was only a small city. But something small stopped Israel's advance. Friends, sin, no matter how small, can be the means of halting our progress in God. We are not going to get far in our progress if sin remains unchecked. Let a man forsake his sin and progress in God. It's the little foxes that spoil the vines, the little ones. Once sin, we read in chapter 8, once sin had been dealt with, and Ai, this small city, it was easily taken. Friends, it was easily taken when sin had been dealt with. And there are things that will become easy for us when sin is dealt with. Chapter 8, we also, I think it was the time we went out of here into the coffee bar because it was so cold. We talked about the law given at Shechem, when the entire nation came to Shechem and gathered between those two twin peaks of Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And the law was read. And there the people made a covenant that the laws of God would become the laws that they would live by. That they would serve God and they would live by his laws. It was a poignant moment in the life of the children of Israel when they made God and his laws their God and their laws. In chapter 9, Israel were deceived by the Gibeonites. They made a treaty with them. One of the startling things that came out there, they didn't inquire of the Lord. They were their next door neighbors, 6 miles away from Ai. And they pretended that they'd come on a long journey, and they didn't inquire of the Lord. And the lesson here was a very simple one. We need to put our trust in God. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. Friends, we need to put our trust in God. Satan is out to deceive us. One of his names is called the deceiver. And as children of God, we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. His devices seek to deviate us from God's plan and perfect will for our lives. And we do well when we learn that lesson, to seek God and trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and acknowledge God in all of our ways. And last week, the theme was spiritual warfare. Remember, Steve got us all to stand to attention. Poignant lesson in that. Friends, we are soldiers and we are at war. And our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the spiritual rulers of wickedness in high places. We do not war against, and God has given us weapons that are not carnal, but mighty. He has given us weapons to fight this warfare. And every one of us are engaged in it. And God's will, as we heard last week, is for us to live victorious Christian lives. That is God's will for every one of us, that we are victorious. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. More than a conqueror is tremendous. But Paul uses the analogy of us being more than just a conqueror. Far above just conquering. Just like the five kings had their feet or their necks stood upon by Joshua. We heard Satan is under our feet. Jesus said, you shall trample upon serpents and scorpions. What did he say would trample upon them? And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you. Paul's advice to the Ephesian Christians. In our life group this week, we just finished our life group by looking at this. Paul, the letter to the Ephesians is classed as one of the greatest letters that Paul wrote. Blessed the church down through the centuries, through its teaching. But at the end of it all, Paul writes these words, finally, my brethren, above everything else that I said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take hold of the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And pray every time with all prayer and perseverance for all the saints. Keep on praying. These are weapons that God has given to us. Above everything else, Paul says, put them on. Are we living a victorious Christian life? Are we winning the battles, the inner battle that goes on every day in me and you? Are we winning the battle? If we don't, and it came forcibly last week, if we don't win the battle here, we can forget about winning the battle out, the outer battle. You see, friends, for us to be effective in the outer battle, we've got to be winning the inner battle. We can't deal with principalities and powers if they're raging riot in our own lives. Jesus is our great example. He said, the prince of this world comes, and he can find nothing in me. Nothing. And because he couldn't find anything in him, Jesus has won the world. Hallelujah. God allowed the sun and the moon to stand still in the valley of Ajalon for a whole day. He stopped the world so that Israel could gain the victory. And friends, at Calvary, the sun, the Bible says, became black. And for 3 hours, there was darkness over the face of the whole earth. And in those 3 hours, the Prince of Life, bless him, he battled against the powers of darkness. He fought them, friends. He conquered them, triumphed over them by his death on the cross. And then from the darkness the cry came, it is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friends, Satan had no power over him or authority. And I want to say this morning, friends, he did it for us. The Bible says that we might enter into his victory, that we might live as he also lived. Hallelujah. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so this morning, we conclude this book of Joshua that we started with several months ago, with the question we asked then, and perhaps we're still asking now, and a challenge to all of our lives. Are we going on with God? Are we moving forward in God? Is that your desire this morning? We used to sing an old hymn years ago. My heart has no desire to stay, where doubts arise and fears dismay. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. We're moving forward. We're moving on. We're not going around in circles. God had to say to Israel, you've gone round in circles long enough. Now break camp and advance. It's time, church, to move on. Individually, as a fellowship, it's time to move forward in God. And this morning we want to give opportunity for you just to spend some time with God. Spend some time just asking him. Maybe you need to respond to God. Something God's spoken to you about over these several weeks, months, when we've been going through this book, going forward with God. In the life groups, we've been going over the ministry and they've been tremendously exciting times as we've shared together. But God might have spoken to you about something, might have highlighted something in your life and even in mine that he's been speaking to us about. And this morning we've just been reminded again about what God's been saying to us. Maybe this morning we need to do some business with God. You might just want to leave your seats and come and stand before God and people, the leadership here to pray and pray into your life and into your circumstance. You might not want anybody to pray. You might just want to come and stand alone with God and just allow him to drench and soak your life afresh. Friends, this place, a circle here, could become the gate of heaven for you this morning as God invades your life afresh. As we can have a fresh encounter with the Lord God Almighty. You mightn't want to come out. You might want to stand in your seat or stand where you are and just allow the Spirit of God to do something in your life this morning. You might not be filled with the Holy Ghost. And as you come and as you stay there, God can fill you this morning. And the power of God can come upon your life. Friends, if God has spoken to you, then this morning we need just to spend some time, and that's what we've given time for this morning. Just as we've revisited what we've shared over these last weeks and months together, we just want to give time for God to move and God to break in amongst us. Maybe this morning you're not a Christian. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. The greatest thing that you could ever do is to give your life to Christ. To be born again of the Holy Spirit. To know that your sins are forgiven. And you've got peace with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, my first challenge to you is you need to accept Christ. He's the greatest person that you will ever, ever meet in your life. He's a friend of sinners. And right now he'll come as a friend. And he'll come and he will just take your sin away and give you a brand new start. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there someone here this morning who has not yet given their lives to Christ? But this is your morning when you're saying, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Will you raise your hand? I'll see it and I'll ask you to put it down. Coming home this morning, coming back to God. Is there someone here? Christian, pray that if there is someone here, that right now they'll respond. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's all stand in the presence of God. Jesus, we just ask.